Sorry. I did, though, bring earplugs if you need them. Okay? So I have them up here. Also, first of all, I want to thank you all for allowing me to speak to you. And let's all pray that Tony gets back soon, because I don't know if I could do this all the time. It takes a lot of preparation. Anyway, I'm just going to read something to start with over here. If I can find it. Okay, here we go. And this is Paul talking. He says, "For I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling." That's probably me. Okay? It says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." And that's what I want, hoping that the Holy Spirit will fill me. I'm really not trembling that much. I used to have to speak to make presentations to customers and to my employees and things. So I've spoken to people before. So anyway, let's start with the first thing here. And brought my teleprompter. We will all want to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So if you go to Romans 8, if you have your Bible real quick, I'm going to be skipping around a lot here, so you might want to just write these down. But Romans 8, 29, it tells us, "For those who God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers." So if you've received Christ into your life and you've received the Holy Spirit and you're filled with it, you're going to have a longing and a desire to be like Jesus. You'll strive to do everything that you can to try to be what Jesus was and what He is. You want to be one with Him. And you know, He was gentle. He was humble of heart. He even tells us that. But He also was filled and is the reason that we are filled with. And if you go to Galatians over here, 5. Sorry, I'm trying to put all these down. "We'll be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all the attributes, and these are all the wonderful things of Jesus. This is what we want. We want to be like that. We want to be filled with that. But when you look at some of the other texts where this is in here, they take out the word patience, and these are usually the older ones, and they put in there long-suffering. Ouch. There's the rub. Here we are. Wasn't counting on that. What's that long-suffering thing? I want to do all these other things. They're wonderful, but I don't want to put up with that long-suffering. But you know what? Suffering is part of being what Jesus was. He suffered for us, and then we have to suffer for Him. And we will suffer in this life. We will suffer. It's something we have to just learn to be accept as it's a gift on there. He's given us something that is part of Him. So if you want to be one with Jesus, you're going to have to be one in His suffering. You're going to have to be part of Him in all that He does, the good, the bad, and all that, all the suffering and all the goodness. And one thing you can look, if you want to see this proved, Jesus, what did He tell Peter? Peter had just gotten in Luke. It's in Luke. It's in John. Anyway, He tells Peter, as he's washing, he's washing his disciples' feet. And He comes to Peter, and Peter says, "Oh no, don't wash my feet. I'm too proud and arrogant to have you wash my feet. And what does Jesus say? He says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. So if you don't want to suffer with Jesus, then you don't want any part of him, and he doesn't want any part of you. So anyway, it's a part of what we will go through as Christians. And I started, and I'm trying to kind of broke it down and all the different kinds of suffering that go on in this world and that we deal with. And one of the first ones is the kind of sufferings are the ones that we bring on ourselves. You know, we cause them. We cause those sufferings, and we just, they're our fault. Why? The reason is because of sin. Sin will cause you to suffer. Just plain old blatant sin. When you get away from the Word of God, when you break His commandments, when you do things, you don't live your life as much as you can to be in Jesus and like Jesus, you're sinning. And when you sin, it causes you to suffer. And oh, believe me, you will suffer. And you will also probably cause other people to suffer. But the one thing that about sin, and if you don't want to suffer in sin, it's pretty easy to fix. Just do your best not to sin. Just don't sin. You know, we all are going to do it. And believe me, Christians sin, non-Christians sin. And guess what? We all suffer for that. But we can eliminate that one pretty easily by just not sinning. So anyway, then there's another thing that causes us to suffer as Christians, and the rest of the world too, that is when we just simply don't stay with the Word of the Lord. We don't stay with Him. We're not one with Him. We go out in this world and we just take things on all on our own, and we don't consult the Lord. We don't pray to Him. We don't ask for His help. We don't do anything that like that. We come to church on Sunday and we praise and worship. We listen to the message. We put our money in there, and then we go home. And Monday morning, I'm doing it all on my own. I've got work to do. I've got a job. I've got all these things. So it's just me. We don't talk to the Lord. We don't consult with Him. We're not doing anything in His way. So we're all on our own. And what do? We end up, we go out and we do something really dumb. We do something rash because we haven't prayed about it. We haven't prayed about it. We haven't asked the Lord, is this the right thing to do? So He'll tell us and guide us and put it on our conscience. What is the right thing, or is this wrong? We just take out on our own. And then there's an old saying that says, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And unfortunately, that's what we do when we get out of communion with the Lord. The Bible tells us over and over and over, so many times it tells us, pray constantly, pray constantly. If you look in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. If we'll stay with that code, believe in it, pray day to day on a daily basis about the things that we have in our lives, trust me, you'll find out that you'll hear the Lord talking to you, and it'll make things a lot better than where they are when you're out on your own. So that's kind of the some types of suffering that we go through as we go through our Christian walk. But then here's a kind of a tough one. He says, then there's suffering that comes on you with no explanation and for no reason. And you've been living in the Lord. You pray every day. You're a strong Christian. You're doing everything that you possibly can to do it the right way. You know, whenever you fall, you pray for forgiveness. You're just doing it all as hard as you can out there for the Lord. and then something hits you. Oh, it hits you hard. It stops you right in your tracks, and it can be devastating. It can be all kinds of things. You could go on and talk about these for hours and hours about what all the different things that can happen to us in our lives that hit us unexpectedly for no reason and no explanation. And one of them, of course, and we've seen it with our own pastor, one of it is sickness. Sickness can just knock us on our backs, just stop us where we're going. And it's like, what has happened? Why is this happening to me? I didn't do anything. Lord, I've been out here doing everything I can for you. I'm doing my best. I'm staying true. And now I'm hit with this. And sometimes these things are just, you have chronic conditions that come on. Something, you know, a sickness that's chronic. And you're going to be living with the rest of your life. You may well have been born with it, or it may just suddenly come on. And now you're told by the doctor or whatever, you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. And you're like, oh, man, what am I going to do? You know, we start praying about it and all that. And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to be, this is terrible and all that. Well, let me tell you over here what Jesus said about that. And I'm trying to stay as much in the Word here so that you're not having to believe on me, because I don't know anything, but I know what the Bible says. So anyway, all right, you got one of these chronic conditions. And let me tell you, I can talk about this because I have one. When I was 16 years old, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And at that time, nobody knew what it was. I'm sure most of you probably know what it is now. You watch the TV commercials, you see it all the time. They advertise all these different drugs for it and all that. It can be quite debilitating, but you learn to live with it. You learn to live with it. And believe it or not, you can get stronger sometimes when you have one of these chronic conditions. It isn't going to go away. But Paul, at one time, he received this great revelation from God, this great vision of heaven. And he says then, though, to keep him from being conceited because of his surprisingly great revelation, there was given him a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's a hard one to get your head wrapped around, isn't it? But he says, therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So many times in our lives, so many times when we've been knocked down by something or we find out we got to live in this situation, if we stay strong in the Lord, we'll find that, you know what? His power is stronger in us than it's ever been before, because when you rely on Him more and more, you become more powerful every day. So then there's just those, again, those catastrophic things that hit you. They can be financial, they can be medical, they can be other things, and you pray and you pray and you pray and you say, why, Lord, why? Why is this happening? Oh, and you just don't understand why. But has anybody here read the book of Job? If you haven't read it, I suggest that you do, especially if you're going through something. But if you haven't, I'm going to kind of spend a little time here on Job, because it's pretty much the epitome of what suffering for no one, not understanding why, is. Anyway, one day Satan comes to the Lord and he says, and the Lord says, where have you been? And he says, I've been out roaming around the earth, in and out, looking around. God says, have you looked at my servant Job? He is righteous. a man without sin. He's perfect. And what does the devil say? Ha! You've built a wall around him. You've given him everything you've got. You've made him rich. You've made him healthy. You've done all these things for him. You strip him of all those and he will curse you to your face. And so what the Lord says to him, he says, go ahead. Do what you want with him, but you cannot touch the man. So Satan goes out and Job loses everything. I mean everything. He loses all of his wealth. He loses his family, all of his children. Everything is stripped from him. He has nothing left but him and his wife. And what does Job do? He goes, and in those days they would go and shave their head and then throw ashes all over themselves. I repent in ashes, in dirt and ashes. And then he prays. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, that's some strong stuff for a guy who's just lost everything, isn't it? And he makes one of the boldest statements I think that is ever made in the Bible. He says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Well, that's some strong stuff. Don't you wish we could all have that attitude? Anyway, so Job hasn't sinned. Then Satan comes back and presents himself to the Lord again. And what does he say? The Lord says, look at my servant Job. He's upright and righteous. Perfect man. Satan says, skin for skin. A man will do everything he can. He'll give up everything but to save his life. That you take that from him, take his health from him, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord says, do whatever you want with him as far as that goes, except do not kill the man. So, sure enough, Job is afflicted with boils and sores all over his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He gets so down and bad that even his wife tells him, why don't you just curse God and die? He tells her, that's foolish. You talk foolish. He goes, shall we accept good from God and not bad also? And he says, praise the name of the Lord. So Job's going through this and he's asking, why? Well, then his friends show up. He's got these buddies that are close to him. Well, they come to mourn with him. They're going to come over and, you know, oh, this is terrible. What's happened to you? And so they mourn with him for days. Then what do? Then they start analyzing him. They start telling him, you know, I can tell you, we know why you're having all these problems. We know why you are. There's deep, dark sin in your life that no one knows about. You're an ugly person down there somewhere like that. You've done something horrible. You've cheated. You've lied. You've stolen. Oh, they go on and on and on about this. You know, he's going, he's fighting back. He's telling them, that's not true. And they're like, yes, it is. What other explanation can there be for that? And I want to tell you something, a little off of it. Don't get fooled for that. Don't be lied to by that. That is Satan telling you. You have all these problems that suddenly come on you, and then you pray and you pray, and things don't seem to change, and what do? You fall for that lie. Oh, I must have sinned. Oh, I'm a terrible man. That's what's causing this. I'm a terrible person. It's something deep down inside me. Trust me, I've fallen for that one. I've been through some stuff, and all I did was run around and ask my wife. Oh, it's me, it's only me. It's a lie. And 90% of the time, or probably 100% of the time, it's not anything you've done. Not one thing you've done. Anyway, so after Job and his buddies, they've told him all these things, he's still crying out to the Lord, why, you know, and he says, if I could only speak to the Lord, if I could only speak to him. Well, then the Lord comes and answers Job. He answers Job. And you know what he says? He says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. And so for the next four chapters of Job, basically it's one question from the Lord after another to Job. One question, another. You know, can you make the mountains rise? Can you make the sea? Can you make the sun go up and down? Did you make the earth? Did you make the heavens? On and on and on. And at one point, God pauses for just a second, and Job says, "Oh, I'm unfit to answer. So I cut my hand over my mouth and I cannot reply." And God goes on and he just keeps answering him, asking him questions, one after another, one after another, one after another. And finally, the Lord comes to the point where he has no longer questioned. I mean, he stopped questioning Job. And so Job answers. And this is Job's answer. "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. Oh, my eyes have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" You're like, wow, what's that? Actually, Job realizes, and I mean, this is kind of tough, but I really had no right to sit and question God. I had no right to ask why. The Lord has a plan. He has a plan for these things and why we go through them. Now, this is just me, but I think maybe perhaps it's always when these things, we're in this situation, instead of asking why, we should just ask what. What is it, Lord, you're showing me? What is it you want me to do? What is it? What is it, Lord? Also, I kind of looked at this and I also thought, because this is the same thing I kind of came to me at one point. I realized after a lot of things and some really tough times that I went through, that when they were all over with and they were done and peace had come back, I found myself rather repentant and praying to God to forgive me, because all I did was question him and I didn't trust him. You know, he tells us to trust him in all these things that we go through, and it's tough. Believe me, it's tough. I don't know what everything everybody's been through. Probably people have been through a lot of terrible things, and it's hard to trust, but we got to stay strong. We got to stay strong in the Lord. Because what he is doing in this is he is refining us. He's refining us like gold and silver. They take it, it's melted down several times, and then what's called the dross is skimmed off, the imperfections, and you come out with more pure gold. And then maybe it needs to be refined again. This is what the Lord, this happens. You know, Satan will come and he will come against you. He will attack you. If you're living the life of a Christian, you can bet Satan is going to be on you. He will come and attack you. But remember, he can't do anything other than what the Lord allows him to do. You got to remember that. So you think, well, man, Satan's all over me. Don't worry. God's got you covered. He's got you covered there. And let me give you another little example of that. If you want to go to it's in Luke 22:31. Basically, Peter, prior to this, has told Jesus how I'll fight to the death for you. I'm going to die for you. Don't worry about me. And Jesus tells him, "Simon, Simon," which is, you know, is Peter. He calls him Simon, Simon Peter. "Listen to this. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So think about that. The Lord, Jesus, He let Satan sift Peter. But He knew what Peter was going to do. He says, go ahead, Satan, sift him, refine him, do whatever you need to do. But He says, I've prayed for you. So believe, whenever you're going through so many of these things, God, Jesus Christ, got your back and He is interceding and He is praying for you. He is there praying for you every minute you go through this. And every tear that you're shedding, He's shedding those tears too. But He's there because He knows that when you turn back, when you've turned back and you're through this and you are coming back to Him just as Peter did, you are strengthened. He is strengthened. You are stronger than you ever were before that storm started. So just stay strong in the Lord through that. It's tough to do, but it will make you stronger. I know this sounds kind of depressing, doesn't it? But it gets better. Then comes the suffering for Jesus. And I came across this and I've read this I don't know how many times. And I've just kind of glossed over it. Not thought, well, that's interesting. And it's in Philippians 1:29. If you want to write that down. It says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. You hear that? It has been granted. You know what a grant? A grant is a thing of something of great value that's given without any entanglements. No, you know, it's given. No, I want it backs. Just like a college. You give a grant to a college. You say, here's a large sum of money. I'm giving it to you. And you do with it what you want. We have been granted the privilege of suffering with Christ in this. So I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. It's a gift. It's not a curse. It's a gift and it's not a curse. Now, we didn't really have a thing up here, but I want you to turn to Matthew 5. Sorry. Matthew 5:3. If you don't mind, I'm going to get up and come down here because this stool is getting my sciatica, whatever. Another one of those chronic conditions. So, Jesus, early in His ministry, He tells us, He explains to us, hey, here's the suffering you're going to go through. He tells us right off the bat, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you're down, you're out, your spirit feels worn out and it's poor, guess what? You're blessed. It's the kingdom of heaven. He tells us, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Oh, if you mourn and you're so hurting from the things that you've gone through, guess what? He will comfort you and you are blessed. We are blessed. And He says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And the meek is basically gentle and humble, just what Jesus is. You're meek, you get along, you try to do everything that's right with everyone, you don't want to sin. There it is. You will inherit the earth. It is yours. We're the ones that will be in the final days. We'll be there with Jesus. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, you seek to be righteous, you try so hard in your heart, even though all the things you've been through, you want to be righteous. You want to be righteous. Oh, you'll be filled, He tells us. Oh, we're filled. We're blessed. We are blessed. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Oh, when you've learned, got Jesus in you, and he tells you, forgive, and you'll be forgiven. You'll be shown your mercy. You will be forgiven. You'll learn to forgive. You will be merciful, and you will be shown that mercy. We are blessed. And blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, we seek to be pure. Again, we seek to be like Jesus. Through all our trials, all our tribulations, we want to be pure in his heart, pure in heart. And he says, you will see God. You will see the Lord. You are blessed. And blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, I don't know about you, but if you come from a family that fights all the time, things going on, oh, it can be hard. It can wear you down. But you're that person that sits there and says, you know, I try to keep everybody happy and peaceful. I do all I can. Or at work, when you're at work, and there people are just stirring up everything, and you're there. Oh, you will be called sons of God. You will be blessed. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're persecuted because of Jesus, yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven. We are blessed. And here's the really good one. Okay? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. He says, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Oh, rejoice and be glad. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Oh, rejoice and be glad. Pat and I go to a Bible study together, and we were actually on this. And one of the guys there in the thing actually pointed out to the teacher, if you look at the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount here, it's basically the life of a Christian. It starts in the beginning when you're poor in spirit, and it goes all the way down until you're so blessed that you're eager to go out and fight the fight for Jesus, to get out there and suffer for him. And I know some of you are thinking, you know, I don't have any persecution out there. No one's yelling at me. You know, nobody's causing me trouble. I live quietly at home and all of that. But let me tell you, when your children or your grandchildren cannot pray in school anymore, you are being persecuted. When you cannot have a nativity scene in your front yard or in the town square anymore because someone is offended, you are being persecuted. We're all being persecuted. When a football coach cannot go to the 50-yard line after a game and pray and thank the Lord for keeping his player safe, oh, we're being persecuted. When they want to tear down the crosses off the property, with public and sometimes even private, they want to tear them down, you're being persecuted. Oh, when you can't go to a movie theater anymore and find anything that is decent to watch, where it isn't filled with pornography, extreme violence, and believe me, almost every one of them has something that's insulting to religion, especially Christianity. They insult you. You are being insulted. When you go and you pray in the restaurant over your meal, and then you look up and you see someone laughing at you, you're being insulted for Christ. You are being insulted. But don't worry about it. Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward. Be glad and rejoice. Because believe me, when you stand up for Jesus, like the old song, you will get wounded. You will get wounded. But it's the kind of a wound that brings you blessings that we can't even imagine. And I want to read something else in here. This is a devotional Bible, so it has different devotions and things in it. But this is one that I came across, and I thought, this is written by a gentleman named Michael Card. And I don't know, he wrote that song. Have you ever heard El Shaddai? Have y'all heard that? He wrote the song, and he's also written other songs, and he's a Bible teacher. He says here that when Jesus wanted to be recognized, the first thing the Bible says he did was to show them his scars. He didn't point to his face and say, "Look at me." He showed me his hands, his feet, and his side. "Look at me." Jesus is known by his scars. And at the far end of history, this is in Revelation, John is weeping because no one could open the special scroll and was told by an elder standing beside him in the heavenly crowd, "Do not weep. See the Lion of Judah." And John looked up expecting to see a lion. But what did he see? A lamb. And he knew who that lamb was precisely because it was wounded. Our modern day heretics, they point to material wealth and they say, "Look, it's Jesus." But the true followers of all ages will tell you, "This is Jesus, for I bear in my own body the marks of his death." That's Paul talking in Galatians 17. As Jesus' resurrected body was recognized by its scars, so is his body, the church. That's all of us and all the Christians in the world. They should be known by its scars and its tears and the unspeakable joy that it knows in spite of and indeed because of it all. And you know what? All the things that we go through, each and every one of us, all these things, when we suffer for Christ, we suffer when we're being refined and made better every day. All these are, you know what? We bear on our bodies the marks of Jesus. We bear on our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, and sometimes on our bodies. We bear the marks of Jesus. But we shouldn't be walking around going, "Oh, I'm so hurt, I'm so injured." No. You go out, you stand tall. We need to. We all stand tall. Be proud of the marks. Be proud of your this. We bear these as badges of honor. We have been given these by the Lord. He has granted us this. We bear on our bodies the marks of Jesus. Be proud of them in everything. I want to read one more little short thing for you. This is a gentleman, I don't know, some of you may know, Oswald Chambers. I like Oswald Chambers. He was an evangelist, a teacher, a preacher in the turn of century England. And when he talks about these things, he says, "It's an extraordinary thing that happens to someone who holds on to the love of God when the odds are totally against him. Logic is silenced in the face of each of these things which come against him. Only one thing can account for it: the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, out of the wreck I rise every time." So when the world, when you go out and the world looks at you and it says, "Oh, how do you stand up to all these things? How do you bear it?" The love of Jesus Christ and his strength and the power of the Holy Spirit with them, Satan and hell has no power over me. Amen. I'd like to just close with the 23rd Psalm. We just pray the 23rd Psalm because it's pretty much what we're all asking for. So if you'll bow your heads. O Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. Oh, you lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Oh, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. In Jesus' name. Just thank you. But remember this. It's today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.